Vegas Golden Podcast back to you on our new day, at least for now. We're going to be recording on Tuesdays for the next few weeks. I'm Case Kiefer, along with Justin Emerson, and we are brought to you by the Credit One Bank Vegas Born Card, the credit card perfect for passionate Vegas Golden Knights fans. And you're seeing some of that passion come out this week, Justin. The Golden Knights returning home from a road trip, and I don't mean the passion in a good way. People are a little frustrated.
Did I say passion of the fans or the players?
Well, you'll have to tell me on the players. You've been around them a little more. I haven't even seen any reports from practice today, but I can just tell the fan base is getting a little restless. I think that passion can come out in a lot of ways, and right now it's kind of frustration.
Yeah, they it wasn't a good trip. It was not a good trip. I mean, you look at the results. They got 3 points out of eight. Two of those games were against Columbus and Detroit. They blew that lead against Detroit. That was tough. It was a tough road trip for them. It's the low point so far of their season, which they're 19 games in, so I wouldn't put too much stock into that. But I mean, that's a trip, and you can say what you want. They were in four different cities in 6 days. They had to play Toronto and Washington. They got 3 points out of eight, and that's. It's not what you want from a team that fashions itself as a Stanley Cup contender.
Yeah, absolutely not. And yeah, it was a 4-6, like you said, kind of a tough schedule. But at the end of the day, you look at the teams on there, you feel like you need to come away with more than that. And you had a golden opportunity to come away with more than that. I guess we can talk about Sunday's game since it's the most recent. The Golden Knights once again have a lead late in the game, ultimately sacrifice it. And give up the game-deciding goal, what, in the final 2 minutes or at the very end of the game, right?
Yeah, it was in the 30.9 seconds
left. Okay, right. There was a lot going on at the time, so I couldn't remember the exact time.
Yeah, Anthony Mantha scored with an all-white hockey stick, which was a conversation piece on Twitter that I had started with just how glorious an all-white hockey stick looks. Like, you see the black ones all the time. It just kind of goes against what you're thinking. But some people agreed. Some people didn't. I really like them.
I'm in. I like it. Anything. I think I've said this before on the podcast, but anything that just gives you a little bit different look, a little aesthetically pleasing. I missed the whole debate, but I would have been on your side on this one.
All right, cool. I'll take it. But I guess going into our big topic is just kind of how in trouble are the Golden Knights right now? They currently have more losses than they have wins. They are 9-7-3. So while they're above the 500 mark, I guess, if you want to call it that, by points percentage, I hate hockey's stupid standings that I have to say that they have more losses than wins instead of just saying they're below 500. But they have more losses than wins. Here we are, 19 games into the season, about the same spot that they were in at the 19-game mark last year. It's not what you want from a team, but overall, I think they're going to be fine. But I think it's also fair to be a little concerned. What do you think?
Yeah, it's. I mean, the Pacific has just been wild. We talk about it every week, but every week there's a different team on top. It's back to Edmonton now this week. With 26 points, who I'm still not really scared of. Vegas has already beaten Calgary in their one meeting, also Vancouver and Arizona in front of them. I still just keep going back to, I think at the end of the day, this division is going to work in their favor. Just none of those teams really concerned me. I think you made a good point that this is right about exactly where they stood last year, and you saw what happened last year. I mean, they caught fire at the end of the year, didn't win the division or anything, but still had a very good chance to advance to the second round of the postseason. You know, I still, if you're going to nail me down on an opinion, it's that I just think they're more talented than these other teams in the division, and eventually that's going to win out.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think it's nice to see Edmonton, I guess, playing, because you want to see Connor McDavid play in the playoffs. Well, maybe I shouldn't speak in generalities. I do. Calgary, Arizona, your top three right now. We talked about it. We don't need to get too into it, but Arizona, I do believe, is for real. I like their defense a lot. Calgary floating around. I agree with you. I think Vegas is still the most talented team in this division. They are digging themselves into a bit of a hole, because say what you want, 5 points is 5 points against, they're now behind Edmonton for the division lead. But yeah, there's no powerhouses in this division that I'd necessarily think are going to catch fire and run away. You know, St. Louis is playing really, really well right now. Boston and the Atlantic, Washington and the Metropolitan, even the Islanders are on fire, but there just isn't really that team in the Pacific right now. If there was, I'd say it's Vegas, is the team that has the chance to just catch fire and go. I still don't trust Edmonton's defense. I still don't trust their goaltending, but, yeah. So at the end of the day, right now, I would still pick Vegas to win the Pacific Division at this point, but I guess we'll see how the next few weeks go along.
Yeah, I think I'm with you, but we're, you know, which makes sense, but we're against kind of the tone of where everyone is right now and a little negative in how things have gone. So turning it towards, you know, that end, how do they switch this up and get on that run to where they can threaten for the Pacific? I mean, what has gone wrong? And now it's three straight losses, the narrow win over the Blue Jackets to start the trip, but... You know, what are the common threads there and how do you see them correcting it?
I really don't think that a full-blown lineup, shake up, send people up, call people up, send people down is really going to do much. Because you look at some of the underlying numbers, this team is fine. Right now, they're fifth worst in the league in PDO, so that's going to regress. As far as also being on the positive side in all the stats that I think are important, they're positive at 5-on-5. In Corsi, they're positive in expected goals percentage, they're positive in scoring chances, they're positive in high danger scoring chances. It's just not all going in for them right now. You know, their team shot percentage at 5-on-5 is 6%, 6.67. So there's just a lot of things that make me think that it's going to come around. Their goaltending has been good. Just about every game, even when Malcolm Subban was playing, he was playing well. So I understand the frustration. I'd even said it. There is a little bit of concern because you're digging yourself into a hole. But if you look at some of the underlying numbers, this is a team that should be better than it is. And that's something that's going to work itself out.
Yeah, we'll see if you're right about that. You were certainly right about one thing. I think it was our last podcast or maybe two podcasts ago, certainly in a story. You said that Max Pacioretty was about to have a turnaround, and he's the only guy that's really stood out to me lately. I think he has a goal in the last three games. Every time you look up, he's doing something right. On the flip side of that, I guess it's just because I expect so much out of him, and usually when I turn on the game and watch a little bit, he's a guy that pops off the ice. But what's happened to Mark Stone? Hasn't a guy that's really been catching me, hasn't blown me away lately. Is there any worry there, or is he another guy that, from your view, is getting the shots? You know, he's been a productive player and just doesn't have the results to show for it, as we can see in hockey from time to time.
That's just it, the latter point that you made. I mean, Stone right now has 18 points in 19 games. He did not have a point on the road trip, so that's four in a row. So that means before the road trip, he had 18 points in 15 games. That's a pace of about 90 to 100 points. He's never done that in his career. He was off to a tremendous start, but to expect him to just have 100 points this year, I think, is unrealistic. And he started off great, and it's starting to come down to earth a little bit. And he had some really good play. He looked good this week. I didn't think that he was bad. He made a tremendous play to get Cody Eakin just a wide open feed shorthanded at one point. I think he would have had, if they would have counted him, one of them would have been a tertiary assist. He was moving the puck really well. So, yeah, no worry in my mind about Mark Stone. Back to your Pacioretty point, though. Somebody picked him for Shining Knight last week.
Although you did have him last week, too? Okay, so it was last week. That was a good call.
And as far as Max Pacioretty, Riley Smith keeping it up. He also scored a couple this week. He's playing really well. Hasn't really slowed down since his hot start. Already 10 goals in 19 games for him. Jonathan Marchessault had a nice goal to kind of get going. So I really don't think that they're, from individual players, there's not a whole lot of guys that are maybe playing under where they should be. Paul Stastny doesn't have a point in a couple of games. Cody Eakins had a real rough start since he returned from injury.
That's the next guy I was going to ask you about, because he's the one that I've heard people really complain about and seem to have some validity there. Or we should never have expected him to be the player that he was last year when he kind of had, you know, one of the best years of his career. But I know the third line's been kind of a recurring problem, and it seems like he's been the common thread. Just about everyone he plays with has played a little below expectation, and he certainly hasn't done a whole lot in his time back.
Yeah, and I think the big thing here Cody Eakin just he just hasn't been good in 15 games. Only 3 assists, no goals. And our friend Jesse Granger tweeted it out yesterday. 292 forwards in the NHL with at least 150 minutes of ice time. 292. Cody Eakin ranks in Corsi, 5th from the bottom. Goals for percentage, 20th from the bottom. Expected goals percentage, 17th from the bottom. And scoring chances, 35th from the bottom. So this is a guy that it's not just that he's had a couple of bad games. He's now had about 15 bad games. So he's having some trouble. We asked Coach Glenn about that today, and he said, you know, he was hurt, so he was a little behind schedule, everybody, so he's still trying to catch his groove. But at some point, Cody Eakin's going to need to play better. And when he does, I think that's going to turn around some of the fortunes of the team.
Yep, there you have it. I think I agree. It's hard. I mean, he's been a pro for so long. We have such a larger sample that he's not going to be at this level. It's hard to see him, you know, kind of all year being this struggling this much to this extent. So we'll see if he can turn it around. Defensively, there's still been some issues. I know a couple goals on this road trip were kind of the direct result of bad turnovers or just mistakes. It seems like this is a topic that comes up every week, but I still think it's got to be the weak point of the team, right?
Yeah, I think so. Derek England was a healthy scratch, and that was kind of a surprise to see the team kind of do that. That's something that a lot of people have been clamoring for, and it happened. But yeah, defense hasn't been terrific. Shea Theodore, I think, has been really good. Other than that, not getting too much help. The John Merrill, Nick Holden have been all right. Nate Schmidt's been pretty good since he came back, but hasn't been necessarily himself that we expect. Braden McNabb hasn't been as good as he was last year. And on that last Detroit goal, it was him making a really weird, uncharacteristic pinch that led to the Anthony Mantha breakaway. So, yeah, I would agree with your point that defense has been kind of the weak point of this team to this point, because if it's, I mean, just to oversimplify it, if it's not the offense and if it's not the goalies, well.
Yeah, exactly. And we haven't really mentioned the goalies, but I think you did say quickly that Malcolm Subban looked good in his 2 games that he played. And I would have to agree. I think if you're looking for positives, I mean, that's one area that they gave him the opportunities that maybe they hadn't given him as much, or he'd been hurt the last 2 years. They gave him a couple opportunities. And, you know, for the vast majority of the games, he certainly looked up to the task, and he looked like a guy that you feel comfortable with back there.
Yeah, I agree. He's looking confident. He played against Winnipeg, and I think looked pretty good at home. Got to play in his hometown of Toronto and saved 35 out of 37 there. So really good day from him in Toronto. Kind of a tough luck overtime loss. Wasn't great in Detroit. He only faced 19 shots and allowed 3 goals. That last one was a breakaway. I might give him a bit of a pass, but the 2 before that weren't great. But overall, he's been good. He's played 3 full games this year, and I think has been really good in 2 of them. And wasn't the reason that they lost against Detroit, as far as that goes. So, yeah, goal attending's been good. Marc-Andre Fleury's been really good. No real surprise there. He's still rocking a 920 save percentage. So if he's doing that all year, the Golden Knights are going to be in really good shape.
Yeah, there weren't a lot of shots on either side in that Red Wings game. I mean, it was
the fewest amount of shots on goal in a Golden Knights game in their 3 years.
Oh, total. Wow. I had no idea that. I just
perhaps up until maybe the last few minutes of the game, perhaps the most boring game in Golden Knights history.
Well, I'm glad to say. I mean, it was on, but it was during the NFL, so I was more watching the NFL, and it just seemed like a slog every time you looked through it, which kind of makes sense. The Golden Knights were on a back-to-back. The Red Wings are terrible and aren't exactly
And the Golden Knights just got beat up both physically and on the scoreboard against Washington, and that's just kind of going to happen sometimes. You play the best team in the league. For my money right now, I'll call them the best team in the league, and then you go and even playing what might be the worst team in the league, if you're physically beat up and you have to go fly to a different city and then play a little bit earlier than normal, it kind of messes up your routine, and that one, it happens.
Yeah, they played at 2 o'clock here too. I mean, that's
they flew after, so they left probably about 11 p.m. 11:30 on Saturday, got to Detroit, didn't have a morning skate, and then had a game at 5 o'clock Eastern time. So maybe it messes with it, but I mean, against a team like Detroit only getting 19 shots on goal, that just can't happen.
Yeah, still at the end of the day, I think you had some strong thoughts in there that, you know, Subban played well against the Maple Leafs. They really had a chance to win that game.
That was that one, I think. The Detroit one stings. The Washington one, you know what? You're going to take your lumps sometimes. It's that Toronto one that they were winning and they just took too many penalties and couldn't overcome it. And at least they got a point in overtime, I guess. But that one's kind of a tough luck loss, but I don't necessarily subscribe that one kind of falls into the Winnipeg Montreal blowing the two goal leads that we had. That was the narrative the prior week.
Absolutely. And who knows how different everything would be today. If even I guess no one would be happy that they lost two in a row, but if they win that game in Toronto, even in overtime, I think there's less panic or concern right now. So, I mean, it's hockey. The puck does weird things. After talking it out with you, I guess I'm even less concerned than when we started this at the beginning and saying I liked the Golden Knights still in the Pacific and you agreed. I mean, I don't know. At the end of the day, forget everything else. It's 2-1 goal losses, and yeah, those could just as easily flip the other way.
Absolutely. And Nate Schmidt said the same thing today at practice. He's like, you know what? We lost it in Detroit, and even Toronto, we had a third period lead. We're talking about 2 bad minutes of hockey over 2 games, and if that doesn't happen, then, you know, maybe we have 6 out of 8 points on this road trip, and we're in a totally different frame of mind. That's just how fast things can change over an 82-game season. Like, we were talking about it. I was talking with a reporter, another guy at practice today. It's like, you know what? We're feeling, you know, everyone's kind of down on the Golden Knights right now, but they've got Chicago, LA, and Calgary, their next 3 games. They rattle off 3 wins in a row, and suddenly everybody's feeling a lot better.
For sure. We will get to those next 3 games here in a little bit in our next segment, The Next Up. But first, let's escape the Golden Knights, escape the fortress for our weekly segment where we look at other things going on around the NHL. Wanted to do something fun again today, so we saw the Westgate Las Vegas Superbook, our friends over there. I think every Tuesday, sometimes Monday, they update the division odds and leave them open before the Knights games. So we thought we'd take a glance at those and see if anything jumps out, what bet we would make right now if we had to. God, I'm going to be honest with you right now. I'm staring at and having a tough time coming up with anything. I think it was 2 weeks ago maybe on the podcast, or maybe it was just last week when we talked about how we both were kind of high on Arizona out of the surprise Pacific teams. That they would be the one we were looking at. I actually tried to bet that one, but I don't have an app for the Westgate, and I didn't get there in time. They were 12-1, I think it was 2 weeks ago. That was one I'm really looking at. It's hard for me to take the leap with 8-1 now, and I know they were 12-1, and I think they've lost 3 of 4. So I don't know. I'll throw it to you. Anyone jump out to you in any of these divisions?
The one that jumps out to me, and keep in mind that, you know, you keep saying it all the time. Well, Justin's the hockey guy, so I'll defer to him. I'm going to turn it around and say Case is the betting guy here, because I said that San Jose Sharks over 94 points was the best bet of hockey futures for the season. So they were 9-2 to open the season to win the Pacific. They're 30-1 now. Oops.
I thought you were gonna say a Sharks
said,
wager.
No, I'm saying that my betting acumen is not good. That said, I really like the Capitals to win the Metro. There's not a whole lot of value there at even money, but I don't think, like, the Islanders, I think, are a good team. We're now into a season and a quarter of them being a really good team. So I think we can't really just say, they'll come down, because they just haven't. Hurricanes were flying to start the season. They've come down a little bit. Penguins are fighting through it, but I think the Capitals are the best team in hockey. They rolled over the Golden Knights. They've been rolling through just about everybody. Even just last night, they were down 3-0 to the Coyotes and still came back to force overtime, and actually had a goal in overtime, but that was overturned. But not a lot of value at even money to win the Metro, but I would hammer it before they're minus money.
Yeah, I can't fault you there. I mean, the Capitals have been highly impressive. These things are just such a roller coaster, because I think we talked after a couple weeks, and I was so high on Carolina going into the season. I felt so good about myself. I think I got them at plus 450 to win the division, maybe, at Circa, and that was looking like a value price all the way up until the last couple weeks where they've kind of skidded back. Now they're 6-1, so I officially have a bad price at the moment on that.
I'm sorry, what did you say you had them at?
I think plus 450 I have them at from the beginning of the season. Maybe only 4-1. Something in there at Circa. But now they're at 6-1, so that's worse. I don't know. I still don't know if I want to do the even money with the Capitals. I don't fault you at all for that.
I just feel like even if, like, sure, it's not necessarily good value, but if you really think that they're going to win the Metro, the value, like, I mean, you're doubling your money. So that's... And I think that that's the safest bet here. And that's just doing a quick little scan. That looks like the best odd. It's the they're the they have the best odds to win their division of any team. So I don't know. I like them a lot. I like them a whole lot better than the Golden Knights odds, which are seem
plus very, 110 plus money.
Seems very strange that they're that. But I guess that's that local edge.
Coming yeah, absolutely. It's all the Golden Knights love.
Yeah, they were even before the season. They're currently more losses than wins. 19 games in, and you've lost $10, or you gained $10. I guess.
I mean, the Golden Knights love is absolutely for real. You could probably read more about it next week. But I spent the whole day behind the counter at the Westgate we were talking about, and of course it's an NFL Sunday, so it's mostly football bets coming in. But every hockey bet that came in was some variation of Golden Knights -160, Golden Knights puck line, Golden Knights player prop to score before the Detroit game. That was obviously a win for the house, but it is interesting that seeing that up close firsthand, you don't hear a whole lot about how much the city loves betting on the Golden Knights now in year three. But it is still absolutely a thing. There was no hockey game that had close to the handle of the Golden Knights Red Wings that played at 2 o'clock on a Sunday.
Yeah, that's pretty funny. So tomorrow, Wednesday, is my 1 year anniversary at the Las Vegas Sun.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Should have brought you a cake for the podcast.
You really should have. But the first story that I wrote was on the team. It was on how much people like betting and how even last year, even though they were losing, that didn't really tamper down the betting handle. So that doesn't surprise me to hear you say that, though. I'm a little surprised at the odds there. Though I don't really love any of those Pacific odds. Like, if I had to pick a team to win the Pacific right now, I don't know. I guess I said it earlier that it'd be Golden Knights, but I don't know. It's, we're talking about not good value. I think that's maybe the worst value among the divisional favorites.
Yeah, I think in the Pacific, I would still have to take Arizona at 8-1.
I would agree with that.
I'm just angry because it was 12-1 and I nearly bet it. So I'm taking a bad price now. I'm not going to get out of this exercise totally. I've been dancing around it, making Justin make picks. I guess if I had to bet one elsewhere right now, I may go with Toronto at 9-2.
I don't hate that.
I picked them at the beginning of the year. So if I liked them at the beginning of the year, I was high on this thing that Tampa is going to have a little bit of a down regular season. I think they'll be good by the end. But, I mean, they're pretty far back right now. They're 7 points back of Boston. Toronto's only 3 points back. Toronto's still a little younger than Boston. I think Boston might hit a little bit of a midseason swoon. They've been absolutely terrific.
Keep in mind, Toronto's three back, but they also have two extra games played. So as far as points percentage goes, they're even further back. But you're right.
I see what I'm going with there.
I don't hate what you're saying. And that's a team that also only has 9 wins in 19 games. But I feel like they're more on the way up. As opposed to the Golden Knights, which are in a skid right now.
Yeah, Toronto's had some injuries, so have the Golden Knights. But maybe we'll monitor these things throughout the season. Sorry neither of us could have like a super thing we were really in love with here, but that's what we're going with. The Capitals at even money for Justin in the Metro. I think I'll take the Maple Leafs 9-2 in the Atlantic. We both aren't necessarily saying to go bet the Pacific, but if we had to go in together, we might take the 8-1 on Justin's hometown Coyotes.
That's right, my hometown Coyotes.
All right, well, let's get to the next few games coming up for the Golden Knights. Like I said, we're going to try to be recording on Tuesday or later for the upcoming next few weeks. So we're going to pick through
Wednesday next.
Yeah,
week,
so we're going to pick through the Tuesday game. I might have misspoke earlier, but that means that the Golden Knights for our week ahead this week have 3 home games, 1 road game: Chicago here on Wednesday, at the Kings on Saturday, and then Calgary. And my favorite, the Toronto Maple Leafs, Sunday and Tuesday, respectively. 4 games to get back on track. What do you think, Justin?
I think they go 3-1. I really like I like how the schedule kind of lines out for them. They get some days off, which is nice. They were off yesterday. They're off today. They play Chicago, then they're off 2 more days. So they only have to play once between now and Saturday. I think that bodes well for them. Chicago, the only team in the league yet to beat the Golden Knights. Fun fact. And then you go to Los Angeles, who is a hockey team. And then are they the worst team in the league right now by points?
It feels like they might be. They have
11 points. They are the worst team in the league, though they do have a couple of games in hand on Detroit. But who knows what they're going to do with them. Los Angeles, not very good. And then it is a back-to-back against Calgary, but I feel like that's an easier back-to-back because, one, it's a 1 o'clock game, so you're on the plane by 4 or 5 o'clock. You get to sleep in your own bed at a regular time on Saturday night, the Golden Knights do, and then a 4 o'clock game at Calgary. I think they've matched up well with Calgary in the past, at home, I should say. They've had some really bad blowouts up in Alberta, but I like them to win these first three games. We had talked about it. If they go on a three-game winning streak, we're going to feel a lot better about them. I think that happens. And then they could beat Toronto at home. It could happen, but I'm going to hedge myself a little bit and say that they'll lose one of these four. But I am high on them for the upcoming week.
Yeah, I feel like I always go 3-1 when they have four games. So why stop now? I do think that's probably the most likely outcome. I hope they get past Chicago so we can continue saying that every time they play that Chicago's the
franchise. I want Chicago to never beat the Golden Knights.
that would be highly entertaining if that happens again. I think Vegas will be a big favorite in that game. They should win. And you touched on it with the Kings. It's just not pretty there right now, which is, I mean, shows you how, I guess, relatively fast things can flip. So I remember the Kings, the first three or four games of the season, I think they won a couple. They were scoring a lot of goals, and we were kind of like, whoa, what's going on with the Kings? Not that they were going to be good, but maybe feisty, and it's just like, really fallen off since then.
In goal differential.
Yeah, now they're absolutely terrible, as we all expected.
5-11-1. Wins in 17 games.
It's bad. Ooh. It's real bad, and they're rebuilding there. I know the Golden Knights did struggle, and I think in a similar Saturday, 1 o'clock-ish game at Los Angeles at the Staples last year, if I recall correctly. But I think this Kings team's even a step down from that. So I got to agree with you. The Golden Knights win the first two. Calgary, without looking too closely at it, just from memory, from what I can remember, I feel like the Flames are playing a little bit better than their first time they came to T-Mobile.
Flames are starting to...
Yeah, I think they're moving up a little bit. I actually think this will be the one where I have them... where I have the Golden Knights getting a loss. I think divisional game, Flames obviously know what the Golden Knights can do. The Golden Knights know what the Flames can do, but I think it'll be close, could go either way. And I'll say the one goal curse strikes yet again. Golden Knights drop a one goal loss for what would that would be like there? Oh, they did beat Columbus 2-1, but still that would be mean they lost 4 out of their last 5 one-goal games. I'm going to go with that.
Calgary, by the way, it looks like 4-1-1 in their last 6, so they are playing better.
Yeah, they're getting it together. I'm going to go with Calgary in the win there. And then I'll say Toronto coming out west. I probably should have looked ahead to what their actual schedule looks like before they play in Vegas, since I'm using that as an excuse for their loss. But I'm going to say Vegas gets it done against Toronto. That was a good game, kind of a weird game. The Golden Knights took a lot of penalties in Toronto.
Toronto on Wednesday, tomorrow, will play at the Islanders. Friday and Saturday, a back-to-back, Boston and Pittsburgh, and then 2 days off before coming to Vegas.
I'm going to say Vegas gets them this time. That was such a competitive game. It went to overtime, obviously, so I'll say the Golden Knights go 3-1 as well. We're just slightly different on how they do it.
I'll take it.
All right, so these four games, to sign off the podcast, as we do every week, we're going to try to nail down who's going to be the best player. It's our Shining Knight competition, where I'm sure I'm in like a 5-1 hole or something. I trust you to keep all the scores for this.
1, 2, 3, 4-2, it looks like.
Oh, yeah. 4-2. Yeah, okay, I did pick up one.
Within one, so yeah.
Who did I take last week?
You had Fleury.
That's what I thought.
Yeah, and I had Pacioretty. Fleury had played twice and got beat up a little bit.
Yeah, wasn't his finest two-game stretch. I think I would go Pacioretty. I mean, Pacioretty... I know we already talked about it a little bit, but he'd probably have to be the MVP. Not that this means much, but this four-game stretch, I don't think anyone could beat him, right?
Yeah, no, he's over that road trip. I think he was the Golden Knights.
You should get a bonus point for that, but not really.
I definitely should. All right, so this week it is my choice. How about that?
Oh, good. I don't want the pressure of having to pick first.
All right, I have a thought, and I think I'm gonna go. Let's see. I'm just making sure I haven't used him. Nope, you have though. I'm gonna go my first defenseman pick. I think that Shea Theodore has been playing really well, and I think that he got an assist. He had a secondary assist on a power play goal the other day. He's getting so much power play time. The goals, assists are gonna come for him. Only 7 points in 19 games. You expect a little bit more. That's about a high 30s point pace, I believe. I think Theodore has the talent to be a 50 to 60 point player every year in the league. I think he's going to get it going. I liked what I've seen out of him the last week or two. I'm going to go with Theodore this week.
Yeah, I can't fault you there. I think I whiffed the time I took him. Not surprisingly.
Yeah, you had him the first week of the season. I had Mark Stone, who had like 1,000 points in the first 2 or 3 games of the season.
Yeah, exactly. I'm so unorganized. I'm always worried I'm going to pick someone I've already picked.
You have picked Shea Theodore, William Karlsson, Tomáš Nošík, Cody Glass, Max Pacioretty, and Marc-Andre Fleury so far. So that stone pick is still waiting for you.
How about...
As is...
I'm pretty sure Riley you didn't Smith. Say Riley Smith.
No,
yeah.
I have not said Riley Smith. That was my second choice.
I keep thinking the Riley Smith thing's going to tail off a little bit, but, I mean, he's been pretty consistently good for them. He's not a guy that stood out negatively to me once. I think I'm going to have to go with Riley Smith. I think he keeps it up. Maybe even if he doesn't score, he still leads the team in goals, I believe.
Yep. He's got 10 goals. He had 4 points on the road trip, including 2 goals in Columbus, a goal in Washington. He has not this season gone more than 2 games without getting a point, and he's only done that once. So he has, looks like, 3 different stretches of 3-game point streaks, and he's riding 2 going into tomorrow.
Makes a lot of sense to me. I mean, I think his goal totals are going to start going down. I don't think he's going to find the net as often, but I think his assists are going to go up.
I agree.
So
he's had 15 points, 19 games, 10 goals, only 5 assists. I think none of us would be surprised if the assists and goal numbers were flipped, and I think over the next 19 games, they very well might be.
All right, I like this one. I'm feeling confident for once. Riley Smith versus Shea Theodore for the Shining Knight this week.
You have the built-in advantage of having a forward, just because we mostly go off of goals and assists, which, you know, maybe we could look a little deeper into things.
Oh, I'm sure if it's close next week, you will.
I definitely will, seeing as I've got a defenseman.
All right, well, that's fair enough. Either way, we will break it down next Wednesday, probably. Sorry for saying Tuesday earlier. That will be the next episode of Vegas Golden Podcast. Thanks, as always, for listening. For Justin, I'm Case. Talk to you soon.